Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, after finishing the regular season separated by one game in the head-to-head matchups and one game in the division, it's only fitting that the Dodgers and Giants will finish the NLDS separated by one game. The Dodgers won game 4-7-2, and we have plenty to talk about from that game, as well as looking forward to Thursday's winner-take-all game 5, so let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. That is Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us pretty much every week to get in on the action. So the Dodgers won 7-2 to force a game 5 in this series. It's a bummer that it's not a 7-game series, but Vince, as much as I would have loved to see a Dodgers sweep or an easy series victory, it really is fitting that this series is going all 5 games, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as a baseball fan in general, this is exactly what you want. The two juggernauts of the season going in a winner-take-all game. They both have the same amount of wins because the Dodgers played the one extra wildcard game, so they both need to get to 110 wins total in 2021 in order for them to advance to the NLCS. And both teams have maybe caught a little break, depending on how you feel about the Braves and Brewers. With the Braves advancing to the NLCS, the Dodgers would be a rematch. Don't really care if the Giants win, what that means implication-wise. But, yeah, it had to come down to this. I think we all kind of knew it was going to come down to this. And now we get the countdown to Thursday and see how things go and get to stress for about 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, for sure. It took 4 games, but the home plate umpire wasn't part of the story in this game. Other than, you know, yesterday we talked about how Dodger Stadium, the weather is never the story except when it's hot, you know. This time, the fact that the umpire wasn't part of the story was the only way the umpire was part of the story. Unfortunately, we get Doug Eddings behind the plate in game 5, and he is often pretty bad. So we just have to hope that he's bad in a way that favors the Dodgers, or at least neutral bad, because if Logan Webb gets a bunch of calls off the plate, it could be a long night.
Yeah, that's really what it's going to be. And we kind of saw the Dodgers get a couple bad calls early in game 1, and maybe that's why they went fishing for a lot more pitches that were borderline or even way out the zone than normal. I don't think the Dodgers, it's one of those things where it's kind of weird because all year the Dodgers, we've talked about it before, where it's kind of like swing the bat because that's where the umpire's zone is, and sometimes they don't swing the bat. Then when it got to game 1, it seemed like they were swinging the bat too much because of what the umpire's zone was early in the game. Maybe they overcompensated a little bit. So if this one can be either a little more neutral or the Dodgers just stick to their original plan, they'll have more success just in general because they wouldn't be swinging at 20 pitches out of the zone or whatever it was in game 1.
Yeah, I'd rather strike out looking at a bad pitch on principle than strike out swinging at a bad pitch, you know? But yeah, they're going to have to find that balance between aggressiveness and patience. And they definitely did that on Tuesday night. They kind of put together an approach where we saw some innings, they knocked Anthony DeSclafani out of the game in the second inning. And a lot of that was jumping on him early in the count, jumping on the first pitch. They did the same thing with Jake McGee later in the game, jumping on the first pitch. But they also worked counts. They got the 800 Giants relievers who pitched in the game all had to throw a lot of pitches for the most part. And so it really was a good mix of what we've seen from Dodger offense. And, you and I said yesterday, the key to this game is the offense showing up. And I guess they were listening because the offense showed up.
Yeah, the offense showed up, and it's, putting up 7 runs, impressive against the Giants, regardless of who was pitching and just the way they ran through the bullpen. But, there's a lot of runs left on the board as well, which can bode well because the Dodgers had a bunch of runners on, just didn't get that big knockout punch. Will Smith's in the 8th inning, the home run in the 8th inning was technically that knockout punch, but maybe a little later than we would have liked. But it also kind of brought another idea, like if the Dodgers had hit the grand slam or cleared the bases one of those times, The Giants might have thrown a position player like for one or two innings just in order to not have to throw guys. So I think the Dodgers, I would have rather them score, you know, 15 runs or whatever, but the way they did it, they ended up keeping the Giants close enough in the game to where they had to use their arms. They started running out arms toward the end. Littell probably had to throw a lot more, or Little, whatever his name is, probably had to throw a lot more than they wanted him to, which could put him out of game five or at least later in the pecking order in game five. So it worked out in their advantage. But yeah, there's still a lot of runs left on that board.
Yeah, with the day off today, it's you know, maybe won't be a huge deal. And obviously the Dodgers didn't do it on purpose. But yeah, the fact that they let the game stay kind of close for most of the game definitely did work in their favor. And then, you know, the Will Smith's home run was the knockout punch, like you said. One of the big things for me offensively, and we're going to talk about Walker Buehler in the next segment because that was the other big key. But offensively for me, the top of the lineup showed up. You know, the Dodgers had 12 hits, and it was exactly two hits from six different guys. Mookie, Corey, Trey, Smith, Lux, and Bellinger all had two hits each. Chris Taylor didn't have any hits, but he had a big sack fly. He had an almost big hit. So he hit the ball well for the most part. He had a strikeout and an infield groundout too, but he hit the ball well. Really the only offensive player who didn't have at least a solid game was Justin Turner.
Yeah, and Justin Turner, not a solid game, but hasn't had a good series at all. We talked about it coming into it. Trey and Justin Turner both 1-for-13. Trey reached base a couple times. You know, Mookie Betts helped himself out. The top of the order helped themselves out, but Justin Turner didn't. And it's one of those things where it's literally do or die now, and they, you know, can make decisions based on overall, you know, season-long things and postseason things in the past, but also they moved Justin Turner down in the order to sixth late in the season. It's one of those things where I don't know if we're going to see him up in the top half of the order. I think we might see him at sixth this game.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a chance of that. Gavin Lux seems like he earned himself not just a start in game five, but a spot pretty high in the order.
Yeah, definitely. Gavin Lux, you know, looked good. And he looked good last night. And in a normal night, that probably would have been the game-tying home run, or at least a game-winning home run, depending how the rest of the game went without the win. But the fact of the matter is, he's played himself into a spot. Like you said, A.J. Pollock, I'm sorry to say, but the fact that it's a right-hander, Logan Webb pitching, a right-hander with good off-speed stuff, it just makes it that much easier. Now, playing in San Francisco with the wind and all those factors over there in the outfield might be a little bit of a juggling act for Gavin Lux, but he's proven himself with his athleticism to be solid enough in the outfield. And, you know, you need that bat in the lineup because obviously the bat's hot right now.
Yeah, and the Dodgers seemed pretty intent on giving A.J. Pollock the full day off here in game four. He didn't even get a pinch hitting at bat when, you know, they sent up Steven Souza in a spot where you might have expected A.J. Pollock, and it worked out. Souza worked a walk. You know, all in all, they may have been taking that whole use the off day to give him two full days off. I don't know if that's in preparation for a start or just to try to get his head right in preparation for a pinch hitting appearance, because, you know, chances are, hopefully, fingers crossed, the Dodgers are going to see a lot of Giants relievers again in game five, and having a guy like Pollock ready to come in when it is, you know, Harleen Garcia or Jake McGee or one of those lefties, Alvarez, I think, one of those guys, you know, that's a good position for A.J. Pollock to be in, even if he's not starting. But yeah, you know, it seems like offensively, Gavin Lux is the answer, and defensively, you know, he's definitely not a step down from Pollock, I don't think, in the outfield.
No, I mean, he'll get to a lot more balls than Pollock would get to, and then, you know, it's just a matter of I think he's fine. I think he's played enough to where I'm not concerned about that at all. And the speed will make up for anything that becomes an issue. And, you know, like I said, if you score a run, realistically, you might not get a ball hit to you in left field, but you definitely come up to bat at least two or three times and you can do some damage.
Absolutely. So we got a lot more to talk about from this game, including Walker Buehler. We appreciate you making us your first listen of the day every day. So keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite teams and sports. We host rooms for Locked On Dodgers almost every week, so you can finally join in on the conversation that you hear here every day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about baseball. You have a chance to chat with us, and you might even be featured on the podcast once in a while. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live, because we know you won't want to miss it. We can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Dodgers. See you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, Vince. So the other key that we talked about for this game was, you know, when we recorded yesterday's episode, we didn't know who the game four starter was going to be. It was around the time that we finished that we started hearing rumblings. You know, Albert Pujols is basically talking as if Buehler was going to be the starter. But it wasn't until Tuesday morning that the Dodgers actually made the announcement. Dave Roberts said he wanted to see how, make sure that Walker Buehler was feeling good on Tuesday morning in order to do it. I said yesterday on the podcast and on Twitter earlier before the game that I probably would have gone with the bullpen, you know, with Gonsolin and then a bullpen game. The one thing that we said yesterday and that I said on Twitter is the only way that Dave Roberts isn't going to be second guessed on this is if Walker Buehler gets the start and he dominates. And there's no second guessing going on right now because Walker Buehler got the start and he dominated. It was a short performance, only 4 1/3 innings, allowed one run. That run scored after he had left the mound. Joseph Kelly, kind of Joe Kelly today. He pulled a little bit of a Pedro Baez, not too bad, allowed that one run to score. But Walker Buehler gave the Dodgers everything they could have hoped for in this game.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the first thought I had when Walker Buehler was starting was, okay, yeah, you know, let's go get it. He wanted the ball. Obviously, he wanted the ball. But he wanted the ball. Dodgers were going to give it to him. And you know, you have, like, Julio's not the worst backup plan in the world to have in a game five. So you can throw your best guy out there, even if it's on short rest. He's never done it before. But at the end of the day, it's Walker Buehler, and that's kind of what we talked about last night. It's Walker Buehler. We trust him. And the fact of the matter is it's a lot different, you know, not to compare to Clayton Kershaw, but Clayton Kershaw early in his career would do these short rests, but then Don Mattingly would just let him go until he was, you know, well beyond probably what he needed to be. And Walker Buehler, you knew he wasn't going to go more than five innings unless he was super efficient. And you knew, you know, the Dodgers needed 4 to 5 good innings from him, keeping it at least within one run, whatever the case was, and then let them get into the bullpen without having to overly stretch anyone in the bullpen, which is basically what happened. Maybe Blake trying to overstretch a little bit, but that was a little bit of his own doing. And then, you know, it's a day off anyway, so he's going to be ready to go. So, yeah, it worked out exactly how they needed it to work out. The fact that they won, obviously cherry on top. And now you got Julio and a rested bullpen for game five.
Yeah, honestly, like you said, if Clayton Kershaw had been pulled after five innings in every game that he started on short rest, his postseason reputation would be much different than it is. And part of the reason that Dave Roberts was able to do that is because this Dodgers bullpen is really good. I was thinking about this when Smith hit that home run in the bottom of the eighth to make it no longer a save situation, Kenley Jansen sat down and Phil Bickford got up. And I'm like, Phil Bickford is our mop-up guy? How good is this bullpen? You know, they could have put David Price up. That's, you know, it wasn't quite that big a lead. But, you know, other than David Price on this roster right now, every reliever is a guy who you could see pitching a high leverage situation in the postseason. Even Bruce Dar Gratterall is suddenly good. He's still not getting the swing and miss that you would expect for a guy who throws 954 miles an hour. He hit 103 in this game, but you know, even Gratterall is getting the outs. And so when Bickford is your, okay, we got a big enough lead, I guess let's throw in Bickford. That says a lot about this Dodgers bullpen, doesn't it?
Yeah, it says a lot. And it's really, you know, I'm not sure because Gratterall got the nod from the beginning, from the wild card game. He got the nod in that sixth inning when maybe that would have been Bickford's spot in the regular season from what we had seen and what had been happening. And, you know, whether it's Roberts trusting him because he's pitched in October before or whatever the case was, they wanted to go to Gratterall. He's been rewarding them with good outings. Like I said, touch 103, I think technically 102.5, but on the broadcast 103. And he's getting outs and he's getting soft contact, getting outs. And it's a good sign. And yeah, when he's throwing 103 and he's your sixth inning guy, and like I said, Joseph Kelly's kind of the fireman that comes in earlier in the game, Blake Treinen's your fireman later in the game. You got Kenley Jansen, who's looked pretty dominant in his two outings so far in the postseason. Didn't even have to pitch. And then you got Vesia, who hasn't really pitched as much either, but was, you know, good enough. He got what he needed to do. So yeah, it's it's just one of those things where please win game five, because this team is, everything is there, you know, from bullpen to starting pitching to you know, the offense, which is a little bit hot and cold, but it's still there. The talent's still there. And it's just like, please go win game five, because this team's built for what they need to do.
Hashtag built for October, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it sucks for both teams that they have to face each other this early in the postseason, because both of these teams deserve to be playing in the NLCS. And for whichever team loses in game five, it's going to suck, because it's going to feel like a disappointment. It's going to feel like an underachievement. But the fact is, one of these teams is going to lose to a team that just won its 110th game of the season. You know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, if it's the Dodgers, it's going to be heartbreaking. If it's the Giants, who cares? I cannot stress this enough. I don't care about their feelings. I want them to be sad. Ben Caspick, host of Locked On Giants, I hope you cry. I hope you have to take that ponytail and wipe your tears up, you know? But if it's the Dodgers, it's going to be heartbreaking. And this is a really good team. One last thought on Gratterall. You know, you mentioned him in the wild card game. And in that game, it was very clear that they put him in that spot because of where it was, who was coming up in the lineup. You know, it's the bottom of the order. It's three righties. Okay, let's see what we can get from Gratterall. In this game, he faced Buster Posey. You know, like, this was the heart of the Giants lineup, and they threw Gratterall out there. And I don't think that means necessarily that he has passed Bickford on their trust list. I think they are, you know, for sure in the wild card game, they were saving Bickford and Vesia in case the game went to extra innings. They didn't want to be left with bad pitchers then, you know. But now, you know, for whatever the reason, you know, he's coming into those spots and he's getting the outs. And, you know, everybody who's coming in is doing their job. The Giants have scored now. They scored two more runs today, which means they've now scored 9 runs in the series in 4 games. And so the Dodgers have scored 16, and that's with scoring 0 in 2 of the games. You know, the Dodgers pitching has shut down. This is a Giants team that led the league in home runs, was, you know, one of the best offensive teams in baseball this year. And between the starters and the bullpen, they've held them to 2.25 runs per game.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, everything's there for this team, this Dodgers team. And, you know, Bickford, it might just be a matter of they know he can throw like 30, 35 pitches if need be. It might just be that, where Gratterall is usually not stretched out that much, and Bickford is in those situations, at least, and especially since Gratterall has kind of pitched well, they feel more comfortable using him in those situations. But, yeah, it's going to come down to it. And now we get Julio Diaz, who's going to finish top 5, top 6 in Cy Young voting. And, you know, he gets the ball against Logan Webb, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday with Logan Webb. You know, I talked about the parallels between him and Ian Anderson last year and how that series was. And, you know, Ian Anderson dominated the Dodgers first time out. They had to come back and face them in the elimination game. And while he still pitched well enough, he didn't get through the fifth, I don't believe. The Dodgers put up a couple runs on him. And I think that's similar how it's going to be tomorrow. I don't think either starter is going to factor into the decision. I think it's going to be one of those games where both starters are probably out in the fifth, maybe the sixth, and it's going to come down to the bullpens. And in that case, I'm going to trust the Dodgers bullpen, because the Giants bullpen is solid, but there's not a lot of arms that scare me. The Camilo Doval is probably the biggest arm talent that scares me, and he's also a rookie pitching in October, and one's going to be the biggest game of his life. So if we can count on some playoff experience being a factor here, it bodes well for the Dodgers. Yes, the Giants have a lot of guys that play in the playoffs, but some of the guys that they're going to count on, Logan Webb, Camilo Doval, some guys in the bullpen, they've never seen this type of pressure.
Yeah, I hope you're absolutely wrong about Julio not factoring in the decision.
So am I.
Again, I hope the offense shows up, because, you know, and Logan Webb is a better pitcher than Anthony DeSclafani, but DeSclafani is not bad, you know, and so I think if the offense shows up, that it should be a game where they can put up 3 or 4 runs on Webb, knock him out in the 4th or 5th inning, and you know, then roll from there against the bullpen or against Gosman or whoever they bring in next. You know, that this, it's going to come down to the offense again. So we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk a little bit more about game 5, and we're going to start looking a little bit forward to the NLCS if they get there. Not too much, because of hubris reasons and whatnot, but you know, thanks for making us your first listen of the day. Keep on listening, because we'll be right back. Let me tell you a little bit about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the world. If you don't know that yet, you don't watch enough Locked On Dodgers, because we tell you a lot. And we really mean it. Vince and I have both, we don't just read this ad because they pay us to. Vince and I have both spent our own hard-earned money on Built Bars. For me, it's the cookie dough chunk, which is not currently available, but watch for it because when it comes back, you need to get some. I ordered 3 boxes the day they were taking it off the market for now, so that we would have plenty. My whole family loves it. The grasshopper cookie one is delicious. There's a bunch of different flavors. If you don't know which one you like, order a mix box. They'll send you 2 of each flavor, and then you can test them out and see which ones you like, and then you can order lots of boxes of whatever you love. The best part is I'm only talking about how delicious they are. Guess what? They're also super healthy for you. They have 17 or 18 grams of protein each, calorie ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 or 5 grams of sugar and carbs. They're all delicious. They're all healthy, and it doesn't get much better than that. So whether you're trying to build muscle, lose weight, just want a snack that tastes good and doesn't make you feel like a gluttonous pig, Built Bar is the answer. And if you go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And now we're back for this last segment. We're going to talk a little bit more about looking forward to game 5. You know, Vince, what's your ideal defensive line? I'm not going to make you go batting order. I think there's a lot to think about from the batting order. Who's your starting 8 for the Dodgers in game 5?
Yeah, I think it's Belly at first, Turner at second, Seager at short, Turner at third, Smith behind the plate, and then Mookie in right, Taylor in center, Lux in left. Defensively, that's not the strongest defense they can have, but it's probably one of the strongest defenses they have. Probably it might be one of the strongest defenses, depending on how you feel about Lux. And then offensively, right now, just the way everyone's going, that's the strongest offense you can put together. So I would imagine that's how it's going to go, and I would imagine that's how it's going to be.
Now, You said Lux in left and Taylor in center. That's not what the Dodgers did in game 4. That's what we kind of expected. They went with Lux in center and Taylor in left. What do you think about that? Do you like that? Or did you mean what you said when you want Taylor in center and Lux in left?
I mean what I said because of San Francisco. And that's just such a bigger outfield. You do need to get good routes on balls. You do, you know, Lux is faster than Taylor, but not by much. Taylor's instincts out there in center field. You know, left field's pretty basic out there in San Francisco. You just have pretty normal dimensions and a wall. In center field, you got triples alley. You got a lot more ground to cover. So for me, I think that's why I would go with Taylor in center and Lux in left.
Would you consider, this is a thought that I've had, and I don't know if they'd go with this. JT is a Dodgers postseason legend. He has shown he is not overwhelmed by the pressure of the postseason, but the fact is he's struggling right now. Would you consider Matt Beatty at first base, Cody Bellinger in center field, best defensive center fielder on the roster, and like you said, a huge center field, Lux in left and Taylor at third base?
Yeah, I'm sure that's on the table and it's something to consider. I can't see it happening, and I think, you know, Turner with Logan Webb, since he's not velocity-based, and what we've seen from Turner is struggling with velocity. Not as much this year so far, but he's kind of just all over the place right now. But, yeah, I think that's something they're going to consider. I can't see it happening, and I think JT's due. It's one of those things where, you know, a guy's got to be due, and a guy like JT's got to be due. If it was, you know, not to keep piling on AJ Pollock, but if it was AJ Pollock, you know, we've seen him twice where we thought he was due and he never got that due. This year, he actually could have contributed to a win. But with JT, I think it's one of those where he's due. He's a guy that comes through and he's going to give you those professional at-bats. And his defense has been pretty good so far this series.
Yeah. And with Pollock, it's so hard because, you know, we saw back in July, Pollock was really, really, really bad at the beginning of July. And then he just turned it on. And, you know, he was historically bad to the point where you and I said on the podcast that we never wanted him to face another right-handed pitcher again. And then he became, immediately after striking out in like 7 straight at-bats, he became the best hitter in baseball for the next month or month and a half. And so it's like, can you really give up on Pollock right now? But it's like, maybe you wait till game 1 of the NLCS to ungive up on AJ Pollock, because this is the definition of a must-win game. You literally have to win this game or your season's over. And I don't know if you can really bet on AJ Pollock finding it in a starting role in a game like this.
Here's one thing Dave Roberts just said in his post-game presser, that Lux will be in the lineup. No, nowhere yet, but he'll be in there somewhere, he just said. So
that's good. That you know, it makes sense against Webb. You know, Lux even worked a great at bat against the lefty in this game four. You know, he worked a walk. Lux doesn't hit lefties as well. He did hit lefties very well in the minor leagues in that one season when he was the minor league player of the year. Other than that, in the minors and the majors, he hasn't hit lefties very well, but he worked a great about there. And with a right-handed starting pitcher, it's a no-brainer, especially when you factor in the speed too, because you get that speed on the bases. You know, the speed in the lineup, when you've got Lux and Turner, you know, the fast Turner, and Bellinger and Taylor, that is a whole lot of speed that can change a game. So I'm glad to hear that Lux is going to be in the lineup. This is one of the perils of recording the podcast late at night, that by the time you're listening to this or watching this, you know, it's been at least 4 or 5 hours probably since Dave Roberts said that. But for us, it was breaking news. But luckily, it wasn't that much of a surprise because we had already both said that Gavin Lux is going to be starting.
Yeah, the other thing that's coming out of this is that Dave Roberts said Max Scherzer is most likely unavailable in relief, but I've been known to change my mind. I think that's an absolute situation where that, you know, it's a situation that you don't want to be in if you need Max Scherzer to be pitching.
Absolutely. And that segues well into the last thing we want to talk about, which is just a little peek forward to the NLCS if the Dodgers were to make it. One of the hidden benefits that, I mean, not hidden, we were both aware of this, but we didn't talk about it specifically very much, of Buehler starting on short rest here, is if the Dodgers do win game five, and I'm on record as saying if they win game four, they're going to win the series, it lines up for Scherzer in game one of the NLCS, Buehler in game two, and Julio in game three, all on regular rest. And so the rotation is lined up perfectly. And that could still be the case, I guess, even if they use Scherzer in a short relief stint. But we just talked about the embarrassment of riches in the Dodgers bullpen. It's hard to envision a scenario in which they would need Max Scherzer.
Yeah. You think about Clayton Kershaw's coming out in 2016 in game five. That was needed. Their bullpen wasn't that good that year. Kenley Jansen had already thrown 50-something
pitches.
A lot of pitches. That was kind of necessary, where if it ever gets to the point necessary here, that means the game went at least 13, 14 innings or something. You know, Julio comes out super early. The Dodgers try to mix and match, and then the Giants tie the game late, or the Dodgers tie the game late, and it goes into extra. So I don't see that situation happening. And it would take a lot. He would have to be probably one of the last guys out of the pen for that to happen.
Yeah, you'd think so, for sure. And so I like the way it lines up in a potential NLCS. Obviously, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We'll have, you know, if the Dodgers do win on Thursday, we'll have Friday's episode to talk, you know, obviously celebrating the win and to talk a little bit about looking forward to the NLCS. But like you said, the Braves beat the Brewers, which means, you know, the Brewers had the only pitching staff in the postseason that scared me, and they're out of it now. The Braves are built on offense, and so I like the way the Dodgers match up if they can get there. And beyond that, I don't think I'll say much more, except that I like the way the rotation lines up, and I'm feeling positive right now. I asked on Twitter some of our followers how positive they are, and I'm getting a lot of mixed emotions, a lot of people nervous, but I feel more confidence now. It's always easier to be confident after your team scores 7 runs than after they get shut out.
Yeah, and it's one of those same feeling as it was last night. You know, offense, please show up. That's really going to be the key to it. And it's the same team that we've seen and the same team that we talked about last night, where you just don't know exactly how it's going to be. And there, you could say that about any team, but I think this team, you know, more than 2017 team, that just, you thought they were going to win every game, even if they were down, even if they were out, even if they hadn't scored through 7 innings, you're like, oh, they're going to score in the 8th and 9th. Like, that's what they do. The 2018 team, a little bit weird, but even then I still trusted them to a certain extent. I think Max Muncy's emergence really helped me, you know, help me with that, because he was, you know, one of those presents in the lineup that you knew he was going to come up big. And then 2019, he felt the same way. It just didn't work out. And then, you know, 2020, they obviously came through. So it's kind of the same spiel I gave last night, but it's kind of the same feeling because, like I said, I feel confident, and you know, if you guys know me, I'm not the most confident guy when it comes to the Dodgers in the postseason. I've tried to be more confident this year, and I honestly do feel more confident, you know, not just trying to put up a front, but it's also one of those things you just think in the back of your mind, like, man, if they don't score, it's not going to be fun. And, you know, we've seen the ball bounce the Giants' ways a lot of times this year, and it's one of those things where you start, you know, falling in quicksand in your own head with Giants devil magic or whatever you want to call it, Dodgers offense not showing up and things like that, and, you know, just Oracle Park being so weird and the umpire and everything else. But I feel confident as I can be with this team, and I think they're going to come through. And, you know, this team specifically, not the exact team, but this core over the last few years, we've seen them with their backs against the wall, and they haven't lost yet.
Yep, absolutely. So that's going to do it for today. Thank you all for listening and for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Tomorrow we will dig in more on looking forward to Game 5. We might have more information by then on who we expect to be playing in that game. So thanks for making us your first listen. Now for your second listen, go check out Locked On MLB, where Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. If you're not listening or watching Locked On Dodgers every day, we'd love if you add one or two days a month to your rotation. If you like listening and then later watching, you could do that too. Whatever, you know, we'll do anything for numbers, you know? So thank you for doing that. Please follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog. And the DMs are open in all of those places. You can email us anytime you want at lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And you can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.